policies when her grandparents finally croaked. But she had more than enough to keep her going for years. Wincing at the pain, she shouldered the bag and started downstairs.
Patty? Patty? Is that you? Grandpa's done something to the TV again. Can you fix it?
Sure. Sure, I can fix it, she said when her grandmother thumped out with her walker. She pulled out a 9mm, shot her grandmother center of the forehead. She went down with a soft whoosh of air.
All fixed,
she said brightly, then walked into their bedroom, where the overheated air smelled of old people. Her grandfather sat in his recliner, smacking a hand on the remote while the TV screen buzzed with static.
Something's wrong with this thing. Did you hear that noise, Patty?
I did. Bye-bye.
He looked up, squinted behind his bifocals. She shot him in the head, too, let out a happy little laugh.
Finally.
She was in and out of the house inside 10 minutes. She'd practiced, after all, leaving two bodies behind her. Keeping to the speed limit, she drove to the airport, left her car in long-term parking, jacked a nondescript sedan, and was on her way. Chapter 12. He saw lights speeding over his head and wondered if he was dead. Maybe there'd be some sexy angels to guide him through those lights to whatever. He heard voices, a lot of rapid-fire voices talking doctor talk. He didn't think dead sexy angels worried about GSWs or dropping BPs. Plus, dead couldn't possibly hurt so goddamn much. Through the pain, the cold, why was he so cold? The confusion, and the oddly detached wondering about his own death, he heard Essie's voice. You're going to be fine. Reed. Reed, you hang on. You're going to be fine. Well, he thought. Okay, then. The next thing he knew was more pain. His body, his mind, his everything seemed to float through it, around it, inside it. Pain was the name of the freaking game. Since he didn't want to play, he let go. That pain refused to sit on the bench when he surfaced again, and it pissed him off. Something, someone poked at him, and that pissed him off. He said, "Fuck off." Even to his dim ears, it sounded like "fuck off," but he meant it. Almost done, detective. He opened his eyes. Everything was too white, too bright, so he nearly closed them again. Then he saw the pretty face, big brown eyes, golden brown skin.
Sexy angel. Sessy angel.
Those full, soft lips curved. And he went away again. He went up and down, not like a roller coaster, but like a raft on a gently undulating river. The river Styx.
That would be bad.
He heard his mother's voice.
What the hell kind of a name is Yossarian? It's Yossarian's name, sir.
Catch 22.
Huh.
He drifted away again, had a long dream conversation about death and sexy angels with the bombardier who had a secret. When the pain slapped him back again, he decided once and for all, this dead business sucked.
It sure would. But you're not.
He blinked his heavy eyes clear, stared at Essie.
Not?
Definitely not. Are you going to stick around a while this time? I just talked your parents into going down for some food. I can get them back.
What the hell?
As she lowered the bed guard to sit on the side of the bed, taking his hand, he took stock. Machines and monitors, the annoying discomfort of the IV needle in the back of his hand, the raging headache, the sour, metallic taste in his throat, and a score of other irritations under the full-body pain.
She shot me. Patricia Hobart, driving a white Honda Civic, Maine,
You gave us all of it already. His brain wanted to shut down again, but he pushed through it.
You get her? You get her?
We will. Are you up to telling me what happened?
Cloudy. How long?
This is day 3, heading to 4.
Shit. Shit, how bad?
She shifted. They'd had pieces of this conversation before, but he seemed more lucid this time. Or maybe she just wanted him to be. Good news first. You're not going to die.
Really good news.
You took 2 hits. The one in the shoulder tore some things up, but the docs say you'll regain full mobility and range of motion with PT. You can't screw around with the PT no matter how much it hurts or how boring. Got it?
Yeah, yeah.
The second, torso, right side, fractured a couple ribs, nicked your liver on the way down. You had internal injuries and you lost a lot of blood, but they patched you up. You're going to feel like shit for a while, but if you're not an asshole about it, you'll make a full recovery.
She didn't hit the, you know, fun factory, did she? Because it doesn't feel right down there.
That's the catheter. It'll come out when you can move around.
So I've been mostly dead for going on 4 days, but not dead yet?
Leave it to you to do a mashup of 2 movie classics. How'd she get the drop on you? He shut his eyes, made himself bring it back.
Blonde wig, blue contacts, an appliance. Sexy little overbite. Said Renee had... Renee.
His eyes opened and he saw it. He saw it before Essie told him. I'm sorry, Reed. We found her in her house. 2 shots to the head. TOD's estimated at roughly 2 hours before she shot you. From what we've pieced together, Hobart, as a redhead going by the name of Faith Appleby, connected with Renee a few months ago. She claimed she was house hunting, and it looks like she followed your footsteps on properties. She got friendly with Renee, so she must have known about the appointment, saw that as her opportunity to take you out.
She said Renee was delayed and asked her to show me through the house. I didn't make her straight off, but her voice. I watched some interviews and I recognized her voice.
Took too long to put it together. Partner, if you hadn't put it together, you'd be really most sincerely dead.
And yet another movie classic. She got the drop on me, Essie, and let me just add, getting shot hurts like a motherfucker. She came around the bar, the kitchen island deal, to finish me off. I couldn't use my right arm, but I got my weapon out with the left. I think I got 3 rounds off. I know I hit her. I fucking know I hit her.
You did. Blood trail led out the front door.
Good.
We just missed her, Reed. She had to have an escape plan worked out. She killed her grandparents before she walked out the door.
Come on.
The bitch dropped her grandmother off her walker, took her grandfather out in his goddamn Barca lounger. We froze their accounts. They all had her name on them, but she'd been systematically clearing them out for what looks like years and must have millions. She rubbed his hand between hers. I owe you a big, giant apology.
She's the one. She's been killing people her brother and his buddies missed.
We found her war room. Her kill lists, photos, data she's accumulated, weapons she left behind, more wigs and disguises, maps. No computer. We have to figure she worked on a laptop and took it with her. The car she drove to the house was stolen that morning and she left it at her grandparents'. We've got an APB out on the car registered to her, and since she's now the prime suspect on unsolved cases across state lines, that's national.
The feds pushed in.
I'll take them. She's smart, Reed. She's canny, and she's crazy. It's our case, but we'll take the help. You have to get back on your feet, partner. That means rest and meds and PT and whatever the docs say it means, and no bullshit from you.
In my apartment. Bedroom. I've got a case board going. Comp files. Don't let the feds confiscate it. I'll share, but don't let them confiscate the work. Go get it.
You got it. Look, I'm going to go get a nurse since you're staying awake longer than you have. And your mom and dad, who've been here pretty much round the clock, even with your sibs taking rotation. Needing to touch, she rubbed her hand over the 4 days scruff on his face. You look rough, Reed, but you're pulling it out. That button there? It's your personal decision morphine drip.
Yeah, I'll think about that. There's one nurse, I think nurse, unless I was hallucinating. Really pretty, brown eyes, great smile, skin the color of the caramel my mom used to melt to coat apples on Halloween.
Trust you. That's Tanette. I'll see if she's on. Then she leaned over, laid her lips lightly on his. Scared the shit out of me, Reed. Try not to do that again.
He went in and out for another 24, but as much in as out. They wanted him up, taking short walks, and the lovely, unfortunately for him, married, Tanette, cracked a velvet whip. She added if he wanted the catheter removed, oh yes, please, he had to be mobile. He shuffled, pulling his IV along, usually with one of his family or another cop beside him. It touched him that Bull Stockwell didn't miss a day, even if Bull harangued him about getting his skinny, malingering ass moving. In the 10 days since steel met flesh, he had lost 8 pounds and could all but feel his muscle tone dissolving. His mother brought him meatloaf, his father snuck him pizza, his sister baked him cookies, his brother slipped him a beer. His first PT session left him covered in cold sweat and exhausted. His hospital room, full of flowers, plants, books, and a ridiculous teddy bear, outfitted with a detective shield and a 9mm, began to feel like prison. The only plus there was that getting in was as hard as breaking out. The one time Selena McMullen slipped through, Tanette, now Reed's hero, kicked her right out again. She managed to get a shot of him with her cell phone. When he saw it posted on the internet, he decided maybe everyone lied to him and he had died. He sure as hell looked like a zombie. Bull lived up to his name and bullied him into getting up and moving after the second round of PT, when all Reed wanted to do was sleep off the misery.
Quit your belly aching.
It's not my belly that aches.
Bitch, moan, whine. You want to be a cop again?
I never stopped being a cop. Reed gritted his teeth as they walked. At least they allowed him cotton pants and a t-shirt now, instead of the humiliating hospital gown.
They'll put you on a desk and keep you there if you can't draw and fire your weapon like a man.
Essie'd kick your ass for the like a man.
She ain't here.
He walked Reed out to a small garden area where at least the air smelled like air.
She ain't giving it to you straight either. Doesn't want to put stress on your poor little feelings.
What are you talking about?
The feds. They're pushing us back, taking over.
I knew it! Disgusted, Reed punched out at the air. His vision went gray when his shoulder exploded.
Okay, okay, take it easy, killer.
Bull gripped Reed's good arm, pushed him down on a bench.
She fought the good fight, you ought to know. You've been ahead of the pack on this for years and nobody got on board. That includes yours truly. Thing is, it's not just a hot case, it's hot press. They can put on their stern, fed faces and claim the press doesn't have dick to do with it, but that's a crock of shit. But the other thing is, you were part of the Down East Mall, and now you've been a target of the sister of one of the shooters.
She had a part in that. I'm telling you, she knew what her brother was up to.
Not saying otherwise. I'm saying the feds see that as 2 strikes against you staying on the investigation, and the brass on our blue line agrees. That's a crock of shit. It's a big stinking crock of shit, but that's what they're serving. They're going to lock you to a desk when you come back and give you grunt work until you pass the physical. And even then, they're going to block you out of the Hobart case.
Son of a bitch.
Get your sad, skinny ass back in tune, kid. There are plenty of us who'll work this on the side, but you need to shake off getting shot. And don't tell me it doesn't give you some cold sweats in the dark.
I see that gun coming up. Slow motion. Like I've got all the time in the world to take cover, return fire. but I'm in slower motion and the damn gun's as big as a cannon.
Shake it off. Get back to work.
Your compassion and sympathy are so heartfelt.
Bull snorted, as bulls do.
You get enough of the soft stuff and forehead kisses, you need a kick in the ass.
It's appreciated.
And for shit's sake, eat something. You look like a zombie scarecrow. Now get up and walk.
Reed waited to speak to Essie about it because, at long last, they opened his cage door. He was going home. Not home to the shit can, as he couldn't yet handle three flights of stairs, but home to his old bedroom, his mother's cooking, his father's wonderfully bad jokes. He'd asked specifically that Essie pick him up, deliver him, so he had waited to talk to her.
Why do I have to get in a wheelchair to leave when all I've heard for 2.5 freaking weeks is get up and walk?
Tanette of the beautiful smile patted the chair. Rules are rules, my darling. Now put that sweet butt in the chair.
How about after I'm 100%, we have a hot, torrid affair? It'd be good for my emotional and mental health.
My man would crush you like a bug, skinny boy. It's too bad my sister's only 18.
18's legal.
You go near my baby, sis, I'll put you back in this hospital. But she rubbed his shoulder. I'm glad to see you go, Reed, and sorry at the same time.
I'll be coming in for the torture.
And I'll go down and see you don't cry too hard. Here, hold your teddy bear. He took it and took a last look at the room. Essie had already hauled down the books, his tablet, and other accumulated stuff.
I won't miss this place, he said as she wheeled him out. But I'll miss you. You're the only woman I love, besides my mother, who's seen me naked without me having the same privilege.
You're going to put some meat back on those bones. She steered him into the elevator. And you take some advice.
From you I will.
Don't go back into it too fast, darling. Give yourself some time. Walk in the sun, pet some puppies, eat ice cream cones, fly a kite. I know enough about you now to know you're a good cop and a good man. Take some time to remember why you're both. He reached back, left hand, for hers.
I'm really going to miss you.
Essie greeted them with a smile. You're sprung, partner. Tonight you're a treasure. Oh, I am every bit of that. Come on now, darling, let's get you in the car. She settled him and strapped him in herself. You take care of my favorite patient.
1 hour in a cheap motel, it'll change your life.
With a laugh, she kissed him on the mouth. I like my life. Go live yours now.
What if she'd said yes? Essie wondered aloud as they drove away.
Never happen. She's crazy about her husband. You know, she was 20 when the Down East Mall happened and doing community service as part of her college credits. Nurse's aide, so she ended up being on the front lines at the hospital that night. Small, small world.
He waited a beat.
Bull told me the feds have taken over, pushed us back, pushed me out.
She let out a hiss of breath. I was going to talk to you about it once you got out, got home, got settled in. I'm sorry, Reed. They brought down the hammer in the house. You're too close, so I'm too close. I went to the wall on it, and the wall won.
It's not going to stop me.
She blew out a breath, fluttering the bangs she'd recently tried out. Look, I didn't support your theory, and that theory's now proven as fact. The feds are scooping that right up from under you. They'll give you a handshake and a brushback. On our end, the same decision goes right to the top.
It's not going to stop me, he repeated.
They'll make it an order, believe me. Whatever you do, you'll have to do it in the dark, on the side. If they find out, they'll write you up and slap you down. It's not right, but that's the line.
What's your line?
I'm with you. We'll do what we can on our time off. I'm going to add Hank's with us on it.
Good man.
He is. He's not going back to full-time teaching. He's going to finish the book he's been writing. Literary cop fiction, he calls it. It's damn good so far, what he's let me read. But part of why he's not going back is to give me more time to work this. With you, when I can.
I need to think it through. Take some time. I need to get back in shape. Apparently getting shots turned me into a zombie scarecrow.
You've looked better.
But Jesus, Reed, trust me, you looked worse.
He knew it, just like he knew he had a ways to go.
I need to take her down, Essie. I need to be a part of it. But I'm going to think it through. No word on her since they found her car?
She's in the wind.
The wind's going to change, he murmured.
He spent a month with his parents, white-knuckled his way through the PT, managed to put back on a couple of the pounds he'd lost during his hospital incarceration. He'd dropped 12 before he'd leveled off. He went back to work, desk duty. And when he got the word from his captain on the Hobart investigation, he didn't argue. No point. Still, desk duty had its advantages and gave him plenty of time to access files. He might not have the brass behind him, but he had the blue line. Traces of Hobart's blood had been found on the driver's seat of the car she'd dumped at the airport. The car reported stolen by a family of four after they returned from a 3-week vacation in Hawaii had yet to be recovered. Reed placed his bets on Hobart dumping it in a lake, torching it in the woods, or otherwise erasing it. She had cash, most likely fake IDs and credit cards. No way she'd stick with a stolen car. She'd buy one under a fake name with cash. A solid, nondescript used car, he calculated. She'd change her hair, her appearance, so she looked little to nothing like the photos on the newscasts and the internet. She would watch those newscasts, the blogs, the newspapers, and lie low at a distance. Until she hit again. If she had a bullet in her, she'd found a way to get medical treatment. He tried a check for break-ins, clinics, veterinary hospitals, pharmacies, but found nothing to fit. He tried a search for deaths, medical profession. Doctors, nurses, aides, vets. Ran down a couple, but again, none fit. He thought about what he'd do, where he'd go in her place. His mind wandered north. Canada. Fake ID, fake passport. Cross the border, settle in, take a breather. That's just what he'd have done. No need to risk air travel. No need to learn a new language. Rent a freaking cabin in the woods, keep a low profile. But she wouldn't be able to cut her losses. He knew. She'd need to finish what she started. Sooner or later, he'd get an alert that someone else who'd shared that nightmare with him had died. So he shuffled papers, did the PT, ate his mother's cooking. And one day he woke up realizing he didn't feel like a good cop anymore. He barely felt like a cop at all. He could rotate his shoulder without agony, and could lift a 10-pound weight for a handful of reps, but he didn't feel like much of a man either. He was, well, the zombie scarecrow with a vulture on his shoulder, just waiting for somebody to die. Time to pull it out, he decided, and take Tinette's advice. He needed to walk in the sun and remember what he'd been and why. Chapter 13. For the second day, while she enjoyed her morning coffee on her patio, Cece watched the man on the narrow strip of sand below. He'd jog a little, walk, jog, back and forth for about a half hour before he'd climb, slowly, onto the rocks to sit and watch the water. Then, like a man who'd been fit and strong and was recovering from a long illness, he'd do it all again before walking back along the beach to the bike path toward the village. After day one, she'd gotten his name from the rental agent who'd booked him into a bungalow. A 3-week booking in October, heading into November, wasn't without precedent for the island, but it was unusual. Plus, before she had his name, she'd used her binoculars to get a good look at his face. Good-looking, but thin and too pale, with a lot of scruff. Personally, she liked a man with some scruff. She'd recognized him. She kept up with current events. But she'd wanted to be sure. So she knew who he was, what had happened, and wondered what went through his mind as he jogged. walked, sat. Since she wanted to find out, on day 3 of the morning routine, she did her makeup, fluffed up the hair she'd recently dyed a deep plum, put on some leggings, she still had good legs, a long-sleeve tee and a denim jacket. And after filling 2 lidded cups with mocha lattes, Cece walked down while he sat on the rocks. He glanced over as she started to climb up to join him, earned points for immediately getting up to take her hand. With his left, she noted, and not without a flicker of pain on his face.
Good morning, she said, offering him one of the cups.
Thanks.
It's a perfect morning to sit on the rocks and have a latte. I'm Cece Lennon.
Reed Quartermain. I've admired your work.
Then you're a man of taste as well as looking tasty. Full disclosure, I recognized you. I know who you are and what happened to you. But we don't have to talk about it.
I appreciate it.
Gorgeous eyes, Cece thought. A quiet green with the intensity behind them adding a little magic. So what brings you to our island, Reed?
Some R&R.
A good place for just that, especially in the quiet season.
I've been here a few times in the summer, with my family as a kid, with some pals when I got old enough to drive. But I haven't been in, geez, I guess about 10 years.
It hasn't changed very much.
No, and that's nice.
Slowly, carefully, he angled around to look back.
I remember your house, and thinking how cool it would be to live there. All those windows, see the water all the time, be able to walk right down to this little beach.
It is cool. The only place for me, as it turns out. Where's yours?
Still looking. Actually got shot looking in the wrong place.
He smiled quick and easy.
That'll teach me. There was another house here I remembered, and it's still there. I walked over from the village to see if it was. 2-story with a widow's walk. What you'd call rambling, like yours. I guess I like rambling. Not as much glass, but enough. Sealed cedar shakes that have weathered, big double porches on the front, decks on the back. It's sort of straddling some woods and the water. A little sand beach, not as much as here. Then the rocks.
That's Barbara Ellen Dorchett's place. Just this side of the village and tucked back some. A riot of lupins in the yard in the summer. Was there a red pickup out front?
Yeah, and a Mercedes G-Wagon.
That's her son's. He's here to help her do some sprucing up before she puts it on the market.
On the... Seriously?
Cece, a little bit psychic, smiled and sipped her latte.
Not such good timing for her, as there won't be many looking for a place like that on the island late fall or winter when she's ready to list it. But she lost her husband last year and doesn't have it in her to stay. She's moving south. Her boy moved to Atlanta about 12 years ago for work. She's got 3 grandchildren there, so there's where she wants to be.
She's going to sell the house.
He let out a half laugh.
I've been looking for the right house for years now, and I realized after I got here, saw your place and the other, there why nothing I looked at rang the bell.
Looking in the wrong place, she added. You should make her an offer. I can find out her ballpark easy enough.
I wasn't figuring on...
He trailed off, sipped some of the really excellent latte.
This is downright weird.
I'm a fan of the downright weird. Well, come on, Detective Delicious. I'm going to cook you breakfast.
You don't have to...
He broke off to study her. The fabulous hair, the amazing eyes.
Do you invite strange men for breakfast often?
Only ones who interest me. Normally you'd be doing the cooking, but since I didn't spend the night rocking your world, I'll make the cranberry pancakes.
That got a laugh and a grin out of him, earned him more points.
I'd be stupid to turn down a beautiful woman and cranberry pancakes at the same time. I'm not stupid.
I could tell.
Let me help you down.
He climbed down, favoring his right side, wincing just a little before he reached his left hand up for hers. Still hurting?
I get twinges, and I'm still working on range of motion and building back up. Doing physical therapy, exercises, and I'm ferrying back and forth twice a week for the real torture sessions.
You need to do some yoga. I'm a big believer, and of holistics. But we'll start with pancakes. How do you feel about Bloody Marys?
Don't spare the Tabasco.
Oh, my man. She took his left hand, swung arms with him. To borrow a phrase, this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
The inside of the house turned out to be as fascinating as the exterior. The color, the light. Jesus, the views.
It looks like you.
My, my, aren't you clever?
No, I mean it.
He wandered, looking everywhere.
It's bold and beautiful and creative, and...
He stopped beside the bust, stared in wonder at emergence.
Wow. This is... Wow.
My granddaughter Simone's work. It is wow.
You can feel the triumph, the joy of it. Is that the right word?
It's an excellent word.
She was in the mall that night, too. My Simone.
I know.
He couldn't take his eyes off the statue, the face.
Simone Knox.
Have you met her?
Huh? What? Sorry, no, I kept track. Even before I became a cop. I needed to keep track of the people when I could, the people who were there.
She was there, too.
Cece touched a gentle hand to the bust before she went into the kitchen to mix the drinks. That's the face of the friend Simone lost that night, as Simone imagines her. So yes, triumph.
She was the first 911 caller, your granddaughter.
You do keep up.
The cop who took out Hobart, the first on scene? She became my partner when I made detective. She's part of the reason I became a cop.
Isn't the world a fascinating place, Reed? How it intersects, crosses, separates, pulls back. That boy destroyed that sweet girl, and she was a sweet girl. He destroyed all her potential. Simone brought her back triumphantly with her talent and the love she had for Artish. This police officer responds because fate put her right there and stops that sick boy from taking even more lives than he had and helped Simone through the start of the awful aftermath.
She stepped over, gave him a Bloody Mary.
That same police officer connects with you, and you become a police officer. I'm a little bit psychic, she said, and I sense you're a very good police officer. Then that sick boy's sick sister kills and tries to kill you. And here you are in my house that you admired as a boy. I believe you were meant to be.
She touched her glass to his.
I'm a decent enough cook, but my pancakes are exceptional. So prepare to be astonished.
I have been since you sat down on the rocks with me.
I definitely like you. That's now an absolute irreversible fact. Sit down while I mix up the batter and tell me all about your sex life.
It's flat at the moment.
That'll change. Exercise, good diet, yoga, meditation, a reasonable imbibing of adult beverages, some time on the island and absolutely time with me. You'll get your mojo back.
Today's a hell of a start.
She smiled.
You rented Whistler's bungalow.
The Bloody Mary had the kick of an angry mule, just the way he liked it.
You don't miss much.
Or anything at all. It's not a bad location, but this is better. After breakfast, you need to go back. Pack up. You can stay here. Don't worry, I won't Mrs. Robinson you. It's tempting, but you need to ease back into that area, not start off with the crescendo. There's a guest suite over my studio, she continued. I only let particular people stay there. You'll have the view, beach access, and my amazing company. Do you cook?
He couldn't stop staring at her. She had a tattoo on her wrist like a bracelet, a purple crystal shaped like a spear around her neck.
Not really... at all.
Oh, well. You have other qualities. You'd be doing me a favor, too.
How's that?
Simone lives here, works here most of the time. Since she has, I've gotten used to having someone else stir the air around here.
Someone simpatico and interesting. You fit. Simone just left the other day for Boston, then New York. Do a lonely woman a favor. I promise not to seduce you.
I might want you to.
That's sweet. She sent him a blazing smile as she mixed batter. But believe me, Delicious, you couldn't handle it. She was a force of nature, Reed decided. How else did a woman he'd just met feed him cranberry pancakes, awesome, and convince him to move into her guest room? A force of nature, obviously, as he'd never believed in love at first sight. And now he was a victim of it. He unpacked. It didn't take long, as he hadn't brought a hell of a lot with him. Still half-dazzled, he looked around the room she'd offered him as cheerfully as someone else might have offered him directions to the local bar. Like the rest of the house, like all of her, it burst with color and style. No safe neutrals for Cece Lennon, he thought. She went deep, rich purple on the walls, then covered them with art. Not the beachy scenes you might expect, he noted, but stylized nudes, or mostly nude, male and female. He was especially struck by one of a woman who seemed to be waking, reaching up toward the sky with one hand, a sly, knowing look on her face, and the bloom of just unfurling wings on her back. The bed, a massive four-poster, gleamed bold bronze with tendrils of vines carved into the posts. The spread had a garden of purple flowers sweeping over bright white. Masked with pillows because, in his experience, women had a strange love affair with pillows. The bases of the lamps formed the sort of trees he'd expect to see in some magic woods. It offered a sitting area with a small sofa covered in a green you might get if you plugged the color into an electric socket, a table supported by a curled dragon, maybe the mate to the one that stood on a stone pedestal and looked ready to breathe fire, and a dresser with curved feet and fairy faces painted on the drawers. A magic room, he thought, as he took a closer look at the dragon, admiring the detail of the scales, the expression of barely banked power in the eyes. But for all its wonders, the room didn't hold a candle, whatever that meant, to the view. The bay and out to the ocean, the boats, the rocks, the sky, all as much a part of the room as the magical mix of art and color. He hadn't come to the island for adventure, but for the time apart, the time to think, the time to recharge. But in one morning, he'd found the conduit to all of that. He cleaned up first. She hadn't stinted on the bathroom either, but he bypassed the body jets in the shower. His ribs still troubled him. She'd told him to come down to her studio once he'd settled in, so he walked down on steps painted hot pepper red and around to the matching side door flanked by grinning gargoyles. She called out, "Come on in," to his knock, and he entered another wonderland. It smelled of paint and turpentine and incense, with a hint of weed. Not surprising, since she held a paintbrush in one hand, a joint in the other. She wore a butcher's apron splattered with paint, and that amazing hair, about the same color as the guest room walls, was piled up with what looked like jeweled chopsticks. Art supplies and tools were jumbled together on tall red shelves. A long work table, as splattered as her apron, held more. Canvases stood, leaned, hung everywhere. He really didn't know much about art, but he knew spectacular when it was slammed in his face.
Whoa. It's like nothing else ever.
Just the way I like it. How's the room?
It's magic.
She sent him a beam of approval. That's just exactly right.
Thanks doesn't cut it. I feel like I was going to say walked into the pages of a really cool book, but what is it? Like I walked into one of these paintings.
We're going to have a really good time here. She held out the joint, had him half smiling, shaking his head.
Cece, I'm a cop.
Reed, I'm an old hippie.
Not a damn thing old about you.
He wandered over, let his jaw drop.
This is...
The stones, circa 1971. That's just a print. Mick bought the original. It's not easy saying no to Mick.
I bet. I'm now 1 degree from the freaking stones.
You're a fan?
Definitely. I know some of these album covers,
he added as he wandered.
And posters. I had this poster of Janis Joplin.
Intrigued, she drew on her joint. A little before your time, I'd have thought.
She's timeless.
We're made for each other, Cece decided, watching as he admired her work and rubbed the heel of his hand at his right side. Is that where you were shot? She asked him. He dropped his hand.
One of them. Ribs are healing up, but they're still a bitch.
Got drugs?
I'm giving them a pass for now.
She wiggled the joint. Organic.
Maybe so, but the couple times I tried it in college, after the high and the insane munchies came the ice pick headache.
That's a shame. Me? I loved drugs and did them all. I do mean all. You don't know until you try, right?
I know if I jump off the cliff into the ocean, I'm going to die.
She smiled behind a thin haze of smoke. What if there was a mermaid who pulled you out, nursed you back to health? He laughed.
Got me there.
In case you're worried about the cop part, my drugs of choice for the last decade or so have been weed, I've got a prescription for it, and alcohol. No illegal substances stashed around.
Good to know. I should let you get back to work.
Before you do, tell me what you think. She gestured to the canvas on the easel in front of her. He stepped over, and his heart gave 3 hard thuds. The woman stood in some sort of glade full of flowers and butterflies and sunlight. She looked at him over her left shoulder, a half smile on her lips, in her golden eyes. A sinuous vine grew up the center of her back, spread its arms over her shoulder blades. Light and color saturated her, but it was that look in her eyes that made him wish he could step into the canvas and go with her. Anywhere.
She's beautiful, not strong enough. Compelling?
It's a fine word.
You wonder who she's waiting for, who she's looking at, and what the hell's taking them so long. Because who in their right mind wouldn't want to walk down that path with her?
No matter where it leads?
No matter. Who is she?
In this portrait? Temptation. In reality, my granddaughter, Simone.
I have a photo of her in my files, but...
It hadn't struck him. Not like this.
She looks like you. She has your eyes.
That's a fine compliment to both of us. That's Natalie, my younger granddaughter. She gestured to another canvas. Softer colors here, he noted, edging toward pastels to complement a different sort of beauty, a different sort of mood. Fairy princess, he decided, with the jeweled tiara over the gold halo of hair. Eyes of quiet blue and a lovely face that radiated happiness rather than power, and the slim frame draped in a long white gown thin enough to hint at the body beneath.
She's lovely, and looking at someone who makes her happy.
Very good. That would be Handsome Harry, her fiancé. I'm going to give this to him for Christmas. She'd never let him hang it if I'd done a nude, so I compromised.
You love them a lot. It shows.
My greatest treasures. I'm going to want you to pose for me. I'll ease you into it. It's hard to say no to Mick. Just as hard to say no to Cece.
I bet,
he said, stepping back.
I'll get out of your way.
What do you say to cocktails at 5?
I say I'm there.
She didn't bring up the posing business over the next couple of days. A relief. When he came back, worn out from physical therapy, she had her acupuncturist waiting. He balked.
Needles, for God's sake.
But she'd spoken truth. It was hard to say no to Cece. He concluded he'd fallen asleep during the acupuncturing because the PT wore him out, and not because of weird-ass needles and aromatherapy candles. She roped him into sunset yoga on the beach with a group of others. He felt stupid, awkward, stiff, and nearly drifted off during Shavasana. He couldn't deny he felt stronger and clearer of mind after his first week, but that's what he'd come to the island for. He didn't argue about the next acupuncture session, especially after neither his physical therapist nor his beloved Tanette dismissed it as hooey, which he'd counted on. When Cece talked him into a bike ride, his ribs and shoulder cursed him, but not as loudly as they had. Fall had long since peaked, but he liked the Halloween look of the denuded trees, the way they rattled in the wind. He spotted pumpkins in gardens and others already carved on porches. The air carried that spicy scent the earth sent out before it went to sleep for the winter. Cece stopped her bike in front of the other house he'd admired as a child. All those roof lines, he mused, and the fussy trim, the spreads of glass leading out to odd little decks, and those double porches, all topped by the ridiculous charm of a widow's walk. "The silvery gray works," Cece declared, "and when the lupins and the rest of the garden blooms, it's the perfect backdrop for them. Me? I'd paint those porches orchid."
Orchid?
"But that's just me. Cody painted them and the trim, that dark gray, because it's safer for selling. Can't blame them. Anyway, they're expecting us."
"They are?"
"I called Barbara Ellen yesterday." He studied the house, yearned, shook his head.
"Cece, I can't buy a house on the island. Cops have to live where they work."
"But you want to see it, don't you?"
"Yeah, I really do. I just don't want to put them out."
"Cody's had his mother nipping at his heels for weeks now. They could both use the distraction." Once they parked their bikes, she took his hand, tugged him along a flagstone walk. She crossed the porch that should be painted orchid, knocked on the door, then just opened it and walked in.
"Barbara Ellen, Cody, it's Cece and friend,"
she called out over the sound of hammering from up the staircase tucked to the right of the living room. The living room boasted a wood-burning fireplace and wide planked floors he guessed were original, freshly sanded and sealed. It opened straight back to the kitchen, where he expected they'd put a lot of effort into modernizing. The peninsula, the prep island, the counters, sticking with gray and granite, and definitely new cabinets in a clean, simple white. He didn't know why anyone who wasn't a cooking maniac needed a 6-burner stove or double ovens, but they looked impressive.
"Go ahead and wander," Cece told him. "I'll call them again."
He couldn't stop himself and walked back toward the kitchen, noted the double barn-style doors, slid one open. He definitely couldn't buy the house, he reminded himself. Not only for obvious reasons, but because he wasn't worthy of a kitchen with a pantry big enough to hold enough supplies to withstand an alien invasion. Why had they put those cool Edison lights over the peninsula? He really had a weak spot for those lights. He turned as he heard someone coming down the stairs, chattering all the way.
"Cece, I barely heard you with all the noise. Cody's redoing one of the bedroom closets. I don't know what I'd do without that boy."
She was a tiny woman and made Reed think of a busy bird as she gave Cece a hug, still chattering.
"He's staying a whole month this time, and he's going to come back this winter to finish up if need be so we can get the house on the market come spring. Spring's the best time, everybody says, though I had my heart set on listing it before the first of the year. I'm going home with him when he leaves to start looking for a little place, maybe a condo, I don't know, but I know I just don't want to spend another winter here alone."
"We'll miss you, Barbara Ellen. Come meet my Reed."
"Oh my goodness, of course. How do you do? Cece's told me all about you."
She put her little hand in Reed's, smiled up at him with dark brown eyes through dusty glasses.
"You're a policeman. My Uncle Albert was a policeman in Brooklyn, New York. Cece said you remember my house from when you came to the island as a boy."
"Yes, ma'am."
"Well, it's some different now in here. Cody's been working like a mule."
"It looks great."
"I hardly recognize the place. It's just not mine anymore. But I will say the kitchen's a treat. Let me get you some tea and cookies."
Now don't worry about that.
Cece patted her hand.
Cody tucked a pretty little powder room under the stairs here, didn't he?
He did. That boy's so handy, I don't know what I'd do without him.
Singing Cody's praises, Barbara Ellen, nudged by Cece, showed off the first floor. Reed had to steel himself against the views of the woods, the water. With Cece leading, they headed upstairs. 4 fricking bedrooms, including a newly remodeled master suite. Gas fireplace, killer views, attached bath nearly as big as the bedroom in his old shit can. Everything about the house pulled at him and pushed against his reality. He met the handy Cody, talked a little construction before Cece waved him off.
Go on up to the widow's walk.
Oh, yes, you should, Barbara Ellen agreed. It's the crown of the house. I don't go up anymore, just don't trust myself on the narrow stairs, but you should take it in.
Narrow, yes, but sturdy. Cody at work again, Reed thought. Then he stepped out onto the circling deck and couldn't think at all. He could see everything. The water, the woods, the village, Cece's amazing house to the west, then the fanciful lighthouse to the east. The world in all its color and beauty spread out for him like one of Cece's paintings. It could be his. Not once, he thought, in all the houses he'd walked through, studied, considered, had he ever felt not that it could be his, should be his, but already was.
Fuck. Fuck. Fuck.
When he, without thinking, dragged a hand through his hair, his shoulder snarled.
I'm crazy. I'm crazy.
He rubbed absently at his shoulder.
Maybe not. Shit. Investment property. What about that? Rent it out during the season. Use it for long weekends. For vacation time off season. What's wrong with that? Can't do it. Can't.
He muttered as he took one more stroll around the railed deck.
Can't.
As he went back down, he heard Cece asking Cody what he planned to ask.
Well, once we get the last bathroom up here gutted and redone and the last bedroom remodeled, a little more trim here and there and some this and that, give everything a nice fresh coat of paint and some more landscaping.
He named a price that made Reed wince. Not because it was out of his range, but because it wasn't that much out of his range.
Of course,
Barbara Ellen put in, with a twinkle of a smile toward Reed. If somebody wanted it before we put it on the market, saved us that trouble, those fees, we'd adjust that price, wouldn't we, Cody?
Some, sure. But we've still got the work left.
What if you didn't?
Reed heard himself ask, knew he'd just tied a rock to his leg.
I mean, if you didn't gut the bathroom, add more landscaping, the paint, the bedroom. If, say, you finished what you're doing in here with the closet and that was that. Well now,
Cody sniffed, rubbing his chin.
That'd make a difference, wouldn't it?
Enough of one, when Cody ballparked another figure, to tie on the next rock. He didn't commit, wouldn't let himself. He needed to run some numbers, give some hard thought to what it would mean to his life. He'd never afford a house in Portland if he did this. But he didn't want a house in Portland.
You want it, Cece said as they rode home. I want a lot of things I can't have. Like you.
What if you could?
Have you? Pedal faster.
She laughed her glorious laugh.
I'm mad for you, Delicious. You said, and I agree, a cop lives where he works.
Yeah, that's a sticking point.
What if you could do that? Live and work on the island.
Chief Wickett's retiring.
He isn't saying so officially as yet, but he told me. He's giving it until February, maybe March, so he's telling the island council next month. To give them time to find his replacement.
Chapter 14.
Chief of Police? That was just more craziness.
Cece let it drop on him, then blithely went into her studio. So he took a solo walk on the beach, hoping the air would blow his brain back to sanity. He sat on the rocks and brooded. He walked some more. When he finally went back, Cece sat on the patio, a cozy throw over her legs and a bottle of wine, two glasses on the table.
You need a nice glass of wine.
I can't be a police chief.
Why not? It's just a title.
She poured the wine.
It's not just a title. It's being in charge of a department. It's administrative.
She patted a hand at the chair next to hers.
You're smart, and the current chief would work with you until you got your rhythm. You've told me enough over these past days and entertaining evenings for me to know you're not happy in Portland. You're not happy with the box your own chief or captain or whatever put you in. Get out of the box, Reed.
You have a purpose, she continued.
Your aura absolutely pulses with it.
My aura pulses with purpose?
It does. And you'd fulfill that here. You'd also fulfill your just as essential purpose of working on the investigation of that Hobart psycho. The off-season here isn't without work for a police chief, but you'd have that time and space.
She looked at him.
Tell me you're happy where you are, and I'll stop.
He wanted to, but shook his head.
No. I've thought about transferring, but there's Essie. And some others. My family.
You're less than an hour from your friends and family here. You want that house. I don't have to be psychic to know that because it was all over you. But since I am a little bit psychic, I know you'll be happy here. Happy in that house because it's your place. Clear as day. You'll have your purpose, your home.
You're going to find the love of your life.
I already did,
he interrupted. She reached over and took his hand. You're going to find the one who'll share that home with you. You're going to raise a family there.
I can barely afford the house. Who knows if I'm qualified for chief of police or if the island council would offer me the position?
She smiled over the rim of her glass. Silver hoops with blood-red drops glinted at her ears.
I have some not inconsiderable influence. We need good, young, bright blood in the job. And here you are.
You're biased because you love me, too.
I do, but if I didn't think this was right for you, for the island, not even just right for you, but the answer, I wouldn't have spoken with Hildy yesterday.
Hildy?
Mayor Hildy Ince. She'd love to talk with you.
Jesus, Cece.
Laughing, she poked him in the arm.
Shit's getting real, am I right?
It makes me think of Simone.
I told you how she tried to fit in the box and finally realized she couldn't. When she took that leap, she found the answer.
Or one of them.
Don't let them keep you in their box, Reed. Damn, that's my phone. I left it inside.
I'll get it.
He hurried in, brought it back to her.
Huh. Barbara Ellen.
With a wiggle of her eyebrows, she answered.
Hi, Barbara Ellen.
Yes.
She listened, nodded, sipped wine.
I see. Oh, I absolutely will. It was wonderful to see you too, and Cody.
Yes, he's done beautiful work.
It's no wonder you're proud of him.
Uh-huh.
She gave Reed an eye roll.
I know you will. Let me get back to you.
Bye now.
She ended the call, set the phone down, took another sip of wine.
Barbara Ellen's anxious to pack up and move, just go back with Cody and be done. Factoring that, she's nagged Cody into lowering the price for you, if you take it as discussed, another $7,500.
Oh, shit.
She knows you'll love the house she loved, the house where she raised her children. Obviously, she's right about that.
I shouldn't have gone up on the widow's walk.
More rocks, he thought, sinking fast. He rubbed a hand over his face.
It was bad enough before that. It was bad enough just feeling that place, but going up there did it. I can't talk myself out of it.
I've never understood why people are always trying to talk themselves out of things they want. You just got another signpost, my man.
You ought to follow it.
Yeah.
Why don't I call Hildy? Invite her over for a drink.
He looked at her, nodded.
Why don't you do that?
As soon as he returned to Portland, Reed contacted Essie, asked her to meet him at the park.